Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is October the 20th, and we are in Parshas Mishpatim, page 422. We begin with, it's Pasuk Chavav, verse 26, which is another discussion about treatment of slaves. And we're going to see here again, as we've been pointing out throughout this whole discussion, that the way that Jewish owners were expected to treat their slaves was far better, was humane, compared to, certainly compared to anything else that was going on in the world in terms of slavery. V'chi yakeh ish es ein avdo, o es ein amaso v'shichasa, if a man will strike the eye of his maid, and destroys it, blinds it. La'chavshi yishalchenu, he shall send them out for free, tachas eino, in place of his eye. Vim shein avdo o shein amaso yapil, and if the tooth of his slave or the tooth of his maid, he will knock out. La'chavshi yishalchenu tachas shino, for free, he will send them out to freedom in place of his tooth. So the Torah tells us that a slave owner, if he mistreats his slave or his maid using excessive force to get them to do what he wants them to do, and he damages them, then they will go out for free. And yes?
Question. When they were released for free, did he have to give them some provisions or some money or something? That is a good question.
There is no provision that I'm familiar with that had to be done when they went out for free in this case.
That might not be the best thing for them.
Well, it depends on... It's a good question. I need to look into that. I'm not sure what was done in terms of that. We saw that if you had a Jewish slave, then when the Jewish slave went free, you had to give them gifts on their way out. This is a non-Jewish slave, and it's unclear to me whether there was anything like that. It's a good point. The clear incentive now is that a slave owner is careful in how he handles the slaves, because if he damages the slave, then the slave's going to go free, which is in a very significant loss of money just to have a slave walk out.
Well, I can't say that's not a very good reason to be careful with the slave. We could both. He's a human being.
He's a human being, but when one person owns another person, you have to have some sort of incentive. Otherwise, people lose sight of humanity.
Your own self-respect.
You're right, but there has got to be, if you only rely on that, then you leave it up to people's own ability to remain moral. And the Torah wants to have a stronger incentive than that. Now the Gemara tells us it's not only the eye and the tooth; it is any of the if any limb is severed, then the slave or the maid also goes free. That means any of the fingers, any of the toes, anything like that, then the maid or the slave will go free. In addition to that, The Gemara tells us, why does the Torah specify the eye and the tooth? I mean, it could have said the finger, the toe. Why the eye and the tooth? So the Gemara tells us that had it only mentioned the eye and not mentioned the tooth, we may have thought that for a tooth, the slave would not go free, because a tooth isn't there when a person is born. We might have thought it's only a limb that is with the person when they are born, not a limb that grows later. A tooth grows in later, whereas an eye is there from the time that a person is born. So we might have thought it's limited only to those parts of the body that are there when an infant is born. That's what we might have thought. That's why the Torah writes explicitly the tooth as well would be something that would make him go free. But if it only would have written the tooth, we might have thought that for a baby tooth, the slave would go free. And that is not true. Only for an adult tooth. If the master knocks out the baby tooth, then it would not go free. and that's because another tooth grows in. And you understand, of course, and we see this with children all the time, that baby teeth do not require that strong of an impact to be knocked out of the... They're not... I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I presume that the... they're not as... the roots are not as strong or whatever it is. They're not as embedded in the mouth. So it's any limb of the body that is severed or removed from the body, but it has to be something which is an adult tooth or whatever, something which is there to be permanent, not something which would be replaceable. Okay, any questions on that? And then we're going to move on to the next section. Okay. So, Pasuk Chaf Ches, verse 28. We're going to read this whole paragraph. And here we begin the discussion of damages caused by one's ox or bull. Whenever the Torah discusses damages brought on by an animal, the Torah picks the animal that was the most common animal to cause such damages, which would be a domesticated but rough animal. A domesticated but strong, rough animal. That would be a bull. That would be the most, the most dangerous of all the domesticated animals. The Torah doesn't speak about your pet lion.
Oh, alright.
Right? Because most people don't have a pet lion. And it's questionable whether you're allowed to have a pet lion. So they're not going to talk about that. And the Torah's not going to speak about your pet sheep damaging somebody, because even though that's possible, but it's far less likely. But a bull is something which many people had, and it is the most common one to damage. So that's why Torah speaks about a bull. But it would apply to any animal that a person owns. So in today's day and age, we would apply to this, the rules we're going to learn, a dog, or a cat, or any of the types of pets that people have in their homes, these halachos will apply. So the Torah tells us, V'chi yigach shor es ish o es isha v'meis, if a bull will gore a man or a woman, and the victim dies, so kol yisokel hashor, the bull is stoned. The bull is put to death through stoning. V'lo ye ochel es bisaro, and its flesh may not be eaten. Uval hashor naki, and the owner of the bull is clean, which means they don't. That's it. That's all that happens. Nothing else happens. That absolves the owner of the bull. Now that's talking about a bull that is not known to be dangerous. But what if the bull is known to be dangerous? V'im shor nagachu mitzmol shilshom. If this is a bull that has been that is gored yesterday and the day before, which means it's been three times. V'hu'ad bivalav, and the owners were warned, v'lo yishmerenu, and yet they did not guard the bull. They were warned that this bull is dangerous. It tends to gore people. Therefore, you have to guard it more carefully, but the owner doesn't bother doing that. V'hemis ish o isha, and then the bull kills a man or a woman. So clearly, the owner is more liable because he didn't take the steps necessary to protect people from his bull. So here the halacha is hashor yisakel, the bull is stoned, the gam bi'olav yumas, and also the owner will die. The Gemara tells us this does not mean that we put the owner to death, but it means that the owner is chayav misa bidei shamayim, is liable to be put to death by the hands of heaven. They have committed a sin for which heaven puts a person to death. Now, the difference between a sin for which the courts put a person to death and a sin for which heaven puts a person to death is that the courts, once a person is convicted, there can be no going back. Even if a person has tremendous remorse and does teshuvah and fasts for what he did and all that, the court says, I'm sorry, you did it. We have witnesses. The conviction has been handed down. We have to put you to death. But if it's death at the hands of heaven, well, if it's between a person and God, a person can do teshuvah, and Hashem will sometimes not put the person to death. But if you want to know the severity of what the person has done, by not watching this bull and allowing a known danger to kill somebody, then the person is really chayiv misa, they're liable for death. But I want to stress, the Gemara says this can apply to any animal. Even, the Gemara says, even a chicken. If a chicken kills an infant, same thing, the chicken is killed. Any animal that kills a human being, the animal is put to death. Yeah?
It's kind of applies today with people who have these very fierce dogs.
Yes. 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 But it applies even beyond that. What if, we're going to see later on as we move along, this is about animals. We're going to see later about fire and about hazards, things like that. We're going to be learning here all about how a person is responsible for what they own to make sure that others are not in danger because of what they own. Now, on your own property where other people are not supposed to be wandering, so if I lock my bull up and a person walks into the pen where I keep my bull and the bull kills him, I was not negligent. I locked the bull up. The victim was negligent for walking in there. So on my own property where people aren't supposed to be, that's my own business, and the victim shouldn't be there. But if I don't take care of the things that I own and they become a hazard to other people, the Torah holds the owner responsible. And you see how responsible the owner is, that to the point where if he knew better and did not take precautions, the owner is liable for death, for having caused the death of somebody else. Yeah, Tony?
Animals usually attack because they feel fear. Not that it, you know, like pit bulls, they're just, that's part of the DNA. But the animal is stoned and not just put to death? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, we stone the animal. Whenever stoning is done for some, what did the animal do? The animal doesn't know any better.
Right.
Right. So the stoning of whenever an animal causes the loss of life of a human being, since the purpose of creation, as we've talked about many times, is for human beings to serve Hashem, and all the rest of creation, both in the physical world and the spiritual world, meaning the animals, the inanimate objects, angels, all the rest of creation was only created to enable human beings to serve Hashem. That's the purpose of all of creation. If something in creation ends the life of a human being, then it needs to be removed as well.
No problem. What do they do? Put it in a pit and everybody stands there and throws...
No. Well, how does stoning work? We're talking about stoning. Stoning is impact.
Throw it out the window.
Remember we talked about stoning is a fall from a height.
Oh, right.
That's stoning.
I forgot.
Right. Yeah.
The goat for Azazel, is that stoning?
That would be considered. So the Torah doesn't call it that. Mm-hmm. But that is the same idea. It gets killed as it falls from the from the impact. Mm-hmm. That is a form of stoning. Yes.
One other question. In modern times, does this pasuk apply to cars?
So the difference between a car and an animal is a car is operated by a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So a car is a weapon.
I see.
A car is a weapon. There was a case recently where a person rammed someone else on purpose with their car.
Mm-hmm.
Rammed another car on purpose. So I was told by someone who has a law enforcement background that had he been there at the time when the person was ramming with his car, the law enforcement person told me he could have shot the person in the car deliberately to kill.
Right.
Because that's considered assault with a deadly weapon. A car is a deadly weapon. Now, normally, we don't use it as a deadly weapon, but it is a dangerous thing. And a person who is misusing it, it's like they're misusing a gun or a knife, or, you know, they're misusing it. The Pasuk Lamed, verse 30. In kofar yushat alav, if... Now, kofar means a redemption. It means an amount of money. If a redemption... And it says over here, if redemption for his life whatever shall be assessed against him.
Amen.
Oh, okay, there it is. Sorry. When an atonement payment shall be assessed against him. So that's what kofar is. It's an atonement payment shall be assessed against the owner. V'nasan pidyon nafsho, he'll give the redemption of his life. K'chol asher yushas alav, according to all that was assessed against him. So, even though it says if, But the Gemara explains that this is done as standard practice, which is that we tell the owner, okay, listen, you weren't careful with your deadly weapon, with your animal. Therefore, there is a death penalty against you from heaven. We're not going to do anything to you, but you should know that if you don't do teshuva, Hashem is going to kill you because you did something that you deserve to die for. If you want to avoid that punishment, you can pay a fine. How much is the fine? So there is a debate in the Gemara. Some say the fine is the value of the victim, which means we assess what the victim would have been sold for on the slave market, and that's the amount that the owner of the animal pays. The other opinion is that we assess what the owner would sell for on the slave market, because he's redeeming himself from being put to death, and therefore we assess what his value is, and that's the amount that he pays. So it's either the value of the victim or the value of the owner of the animal. There's two different opinions. And when that is paid, that is considered an atonement payment. It doesn't wipe away what happened, but it does prevent the owner from now being liable for death at the hands of heaven. That's what it does.
Who does he pay?
He pays the victim's family.
Okay.
Ovein yigach ovas yigach, whether the animal gores a boy or a girl, even, in other words, even if it's a young child, it doesn't have to be an adult. Kamishpat hazeye aselo, this is the rule that is done to him. It's all the same. Doesn't matter whether the victim is an adult, whether the victim is a child, the same rules apply. Im eved yigach hashor o ama, if the ox, the bull, will gore a slave or a maid, so here you have an additional problem. We're going to put the ox to death no matter what because he killed a human being. So we're going to put him to death. But here you also have the added problem that you have taken away money from the owner of the slave. So here the rule is, kesef shloshim shkalim yitein ladonav, the value of 30 shkalim, 30 coins, will be given to the owner. V'hashor yisakel, and the ox is stoned, as in all of the cases before. So before we get into the details here, let's just explain what is the value of 30 shekalim. So the value of pidyon haben, when we redeem our firstborn sons, is 5 shekalim. So this is 6 times what it costs to redeem a firstborn son. What is 5 shekalim? So 5 shekalim is a little less than 100 ounces of silver, not troy ounces. They're totally different. Regular ounces and troy ounces are totally different. When I made a pidyon haben, my son is 20 years old. When I made a pidyon haben 20 years ago, the value of 5 shkalim in those days, in the value of silver, was about $15. That's about what it was. I'm not sure where silver is today. But when silver spiked about, you know, maybe a year ago, maybe 6 months ago, at that point,
a couple years ago.
So at that point, 5 shkalim was over $100. So it had risen dramatically. So here we're talking about whatever that value is, it's 6 times that, because it's 30 shkalim is the amount that you pay over here. So that's the amount to pay for the slave, plus, of course, the ox was put to death, because the ox killed a person. I want you to hold the place over here, and I want to turn to Parshas Maaseh. I'm going to show you a similar but opposite rule when a human being kills another human being. Page 932. Page 932 is talking about a man who kills, who murders. A man who kills somebody else. So what's the rule? One person kills somebody else. What do we do to that person?
He's put to death.
The punishment for killing, for murder, is death.
Does he have to be warned first?
Yeah.
Is it by stone?
No, it is with the sword. It is beheading. That is the method of capital punishment for someone who murders somebody else.
Did we ever have that?
Did we ever see?
It's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So on page 932, the Torah warns us, "Velo sikhu chofer." Top of the page, Lamed Aleph, verse 31. "Velo sikhu chofer lenefesh rotzeach." Do not take an atonement payment for the soul of a murderer. Asher hu rasha lamus, that he is an evil person, that he is to die. Ki most you must, he shall be put to death. Do not take an atonement payment from him. If a person is sentenced to death, you are to put him to death. He can't buy his way out of it. This is the other side of the coin from what we have over here. We just read that if a person's ox that has already gored several times, and the person should know better and guard his ox, and he doesn't guard his ox, and the ox kills somebody, then the owner of the ox is liable for death from Hashem. However, he can buy his way out of that death penalty by paying an atonement payment, a kofar. That's when his ox gores. When he kills, says the Torah, don't take payment. Even if he tries to buy his way out of it, don't accept the payment. Instead, you have to put him to death. And the next verse says a similar rule about someone who kills by accident and has to go to an Ir Miklat, has to go to a city of refuge. That's the punishment. He has to go into Golus, he has to go into exile, into a city of refuge. The verse says, "Velo sikhu chofer lanus el Ir Miklato." Don't take an atonement payment for someone who has to run to his city of refuge. Lamed Beis 32. Lashuv Lashav Esparet, that he should return and dwell in the land. Admos HaKohen, before the Kohen Gadol dies. We don't take any atonement payments. When a human being kills, whether it is on purpose or by accident, if it's on purpose, the human being is put to death, and if it is by accident, the human being must go into Golus, he must go into exile, to an Ir Miklat, to a city of refuge. There is no way out. There is no payment that can get him out of it. And we're actually told a warning not to take payment. Whereas, if it's the person's ox, then we do allow for a payment to get him out of it. When reparations were offered and accepted by the German government to the Israeli government after World War II, there were those who felt that the Israeli government was wrong for accepting reparations based on these verses. Murderers can't buy their way out. A murderer is a murderer. And you can't pay your way out of that. Don't take atonement. Don't take an atonement payment. But that's when the person murders themselves. When it is their ox that does the killing, even though the owner was negligent. Let's go back to page 424. Even though the owner was negligent, there we do allow for an atonement payment to buy one's way out of it. This paragraph here is very clear that the rules don't change no matter who the victim is. It doesn't matter whether the victim is an adult. It doesn't matter 424. Doesn't matter whether the victim is a child, and it doesn't matter whether the victim is a slave. It's all the same. If an animal kills a human being, that animal is put to death. The even when it's a slave who is killed and we need to make up the money to the owner, even there it doesn't matter what the slave's worth is. It's 30 shkalim. No matter whether the slave was worth more than 30 shkalim or less than 30 shkalim, the Torah gives a set penalty of 30 shkalim. The message the Torah is giving us over here is that the punishment for someone's animal killing somebody else is universal. We don't allow for differences. One has to make sure that their animals are properly guarded. Guarded. So the right kind of fencing, the right kind of lock, the right kind of whatever it is, they have to be properly fenced in to prevent them from killing another human being. And if a person does not take those precautions, then we will put the animal to death, which is a loss of money for the owner of the animal, and if the person should have known better because the animal had been had killed before, then we will also either he'll be put to death from Hashem, or he can, in that case, he can buy his way out of it. Now the Torah tells us back in Pasuk Chavches, in the first Pasuk 28, in this paragraph, it says, the ox is stoned, and you can't eat its meat. And the owner of the ox or the bull is clean, whereas it says here is innocent. So, the Gemara asks this question, which I thought some of you would ask, which is that if the animal is stoned, then of course you can't eat its meat, because that means the animal wasn't slaughtered properly. So of course the animal is not kosher. So why is the Torah need to tell us don't eat its meat?
Even from
non-Jews? Okay. So that is, you're pointing out that what it means actually is that you can't get any benefit
right.
from the meat. You can't even sell it to a non-Jew.
Right.
Okay, good. That is one part of this. The other part is that even if the owner of the ox, the sentence has been handed down, the ox is going to be killed through stoning, and Beis Din is about to go carry out that directive. So the owner of the ox says, look, I'm going to lose my ox anyway. Now it's going to be killed. So I may as well get what I can out of it. So he grabs his ox and he slaughters it with the proper shechita. So at least now he has kosher meat.
It's not stoning.
Right. But he says, I want to at least get something out of my animal.
Mm-hmm.
So he kills it, and now he's got kosher meat. Says the Torah, it's not kosher. Even if the animal would be slaughtered properly, that meat is not kosher. Since the animal is...
Can he use the skin?
What's that?
Can he use the skin?
The animal is...
Any part?
One cannot get any benefit from a shor haniskol, from an animal that is to be put to death. One cannot get any benefit from it. And when it says, and the owner is innocent, the owner is innocent, here, our sages tell us a very interesting thing. You can read this two ways. The simple way to read it is the way we translated it, which is that he's innocent, which means the animal is put to death, and that's all. As opposed to the case where the animal had already gored several times, then that's not all. It's not just the animal is put to death, but the owner is liable for death as well. And they have to buy their way out of it. That's the simple explanation, that in this case where the animal had not gored before, then that's all. Once you put the animal to death, that's it. The owner is innocent. But the other way to read it is, naki means clean. So clean has a positive connotation. My hands are clean. The animal's been put to death, now I'm clean. But it also has a negative connotation if we look at it from a financial standpoint. A person's hands are clean, meaning he's cleanly wiped out. Literally. So the animal has no value. That's where we get it from. The animal has no value at all. The owner is cleanly wiped out. There's nothing left. Totally, his hands are totally cleaned from this animal. He can't keep any of it. Nothing. Not the hide, no benefits can come from this animal. Totally clean from the animal. Again, as we mentioned, the thrust of what the Torah is saying over here is when a animal ends the life of a human being, then the animal must be removed from this world because the animal has now acted in a manner that is counter to what the animal was created to do. It doesn't mean the animal had free will. Of course, it did not have free will, and we don't blame the animal, but we have to keep in mind that the main lesson of what's happening over here is for human beings. And human beings must always remember that animals are here only for the purpose of enabling us to serve Hashem. That's the purpose of animals. When we begin to lose sight of that and start to think of animals as their own right to exist, as having their own independent reason for creation, then we are losing sight of why the world was created. We do believe in caring for animals. We believed in caring for animals long before there ever was PETA or animal rights activists or anything like that. We've always had rules about how you treat animals. So, But the reason why we treat animals properly is not because we believe that animals are people too. It's not for that reason. It's because the Torah tells us you are to care for your animals properly. The commentaries explain that in so doing, we train ourselves to treat human beings properly, because we're trained to treat creatures properly. And the goal is, if you treat an animal properly, then you'll treat a human being properly as well. What happens in our society is that people begin to put animals over human beings, and they treat animals with respect and deference and with care and concern, and they have no regard for human beings. That is a problem. That is not bearing in mind that the animal is only here for the purpose of enabling us to serve Hashem, to train us to serve Hashem. It's only a stepping stone. It is not an end-all and be-all of it in and of itself. And that is a message which human beings must always remember. Therefore, if an animal ends the life of a human being, we must take away that animal from existence. To send the message home that the animal's purpose is to enable the human being to reach perfection. It doesn't have its own right to exist. There were, again, let's go back to that awful time, let's go back to Nazi Germany, there were those wonderful Germans who, when the Jews were deported, went around rounding up the Jewish pets and animals to make sure that they were cared for properly. And that is exactly the point that Torah is coming to say that we reject. We reject the notion of giving the animals that kind of status. That's the point over here. What's that?
Hitler was good to his bird.
He was good to his bird, right. This is why we're going to find later on that when an animal causes a human being to sin, even though it's not the animal's fault, but if a human being sins with an animal, the animal has to be put to death. Not because it's the animal's fault, but because we need to keep our perspective of why animals are here. This is also why, even though Bilam was a horrid person, and even though he didn't deserve anything, but when his donkey speaks to him and his donkey beats him in an argument and shames him, the angel puts the donkey to death. The donkey that spoke to Bilam, the angel then kills the donkey. Not because the donkey was bad, not because the donkey did anything wrong, but when an animal shames a human being, again, it is a bad message for us to somehow put the animal over the human being. And therefore the animal is put to death.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.